Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and talk about the sport that he or she loves the most. Stogies and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Stogies and Beer is a show that talks a lot about the NFL because it is a football talk show. However, we talk a lot about the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, also horse racing, dog racing, UFC, badminton, water polo, pie eating contest, mud wrestling, boxing, whatever you want to talk about, that's considered a sport across the monitor, you can call in and talk about it. Stogies and Beers broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBES, Chula Vista, California, WBEST. And the time on deck is 8:08 a.m. It is 53 degrees Fahrenheit, mostly cloudy in San Diego, California. Today's topic is NFL Week 16 and Monday Night Football Action Recap. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global audience. Topics covered will be Monday Night Football Week 16, Chargers versus Colts, the Baltimore Ravens, and but not limited to NBA, New York Knicks, and the Los Angeles Lakers. The show's number one sports contributor, D.C. from Maryland, will discuss but not limited to the following topics below: Julius Randle, Lamar Jackson, LeBron James, and Justin Herbert. So that's our show topic for today and the details of our show. Big across the wire today is all signs are pointing to the fact that Tua Tagovailoa is not going to be getting his helmet back. All signs are pointing to that fact that Tua Tagovailoa of the Miami Dolphins is probably not getting his helmet back. He's had what is considered, he's had at least two concussions, but most people say three, because the first time he had a concussion, they claimed it was his back. You know, he tried to hide it from the team that he was had a concussion, but he's bumbling and stumbling around the field, you know, and everybody, you know, all signs pointed to the fact that that day he had a concussion, the first time he got injured. Then he turned around and had another concussion where he's laying, you know, laying on the field, and he was in, you know, his hands were stuck in that face guarding position. You know, then something happened this weekend. He got hit again. I guess they're saying something about he got hit in the back of the head, or the back of his head hit the turf, and he came in yesterday and saying that, hey, I'm having some concussion symptoms, so I'm gonna probably sit out this week. So all signs are pointing to, based on what the media experts are saying, on the monitor, all signs are pointing to the fact that Tua Tagovailoa is probably not going to be getting his helmet back at all. I'm not talking about just for the season. I'm talking about at all. He's probably not getting his helmet back. They're not going to give him that. It's looking like they're not giving him that helmet back. You know, and it's, you know, it's unfortunate for a young man that's been playing football all of his life, taking shots like that all of his life. All of a sudden now, all signs are pointing that his career is over. The NFL got so much flack for the death of Junior Seau. Rest in peace, Junior Seau, which is actually from here in this area, San Diego, California, up the road just a little ways, actually Oceanside to be exact. Oceanside High School. I think Junior Seau went to Oceanside High School, then USC, and then played many years with the San Diego Chargers. When Junior Seau passed away, and they said it was due to CTE. When they said it was due to CTE, the NFL started getting really particular about this concussion stuff. They started getting really particular about it, so they caught a lot of flack. And I think the NFL got sued, if I'm correct. If I'm not correct about any of the details that I'm sharing here, please feel free to call into the show and correct me or debate me at 515-602-9687. Again, call into the show to correct me or debate me at 515-602-9687. The NFL has gotten really particular when it's coming down to the concussion protocol. So, you know, based on what the media experts are saying, all signs are pointing to Tua Tagovailoa is not getting his helmet back. They're not going to give him his helmet back. Roger Goodell is probably going to make a stand and tell everybody, you know, he's going to do it discreetly. Nine times out of ten, he's going to do it discreetly, because I don't think he can just come right out with it. but it's going to be a rule. He's going to send word out to all the team owners and general managers. Tua Tagovailoa is not to be touched. He's done. Because he gets another, takes another shot and something happens to him, the NFL can be facing another big lawsuit and a lot of flack. All signs are pointing, based on the media experts on the coming across the monitors, that Tua Tagovailoa is not getting his helmet back. Tua Tagovailoa not getting his helmet back. Sad day. Sad day for Miami Dolphin fans. Sad day for football fans. Sad day for Tua Tagovailoa. But I myself must say it's time to shut him down. You know, he wasn't even supposed to make it to the NFL, to be honest with you, the way things are looking. When he had the hip injury his senior year, or his last year, whatever, at Alabama. That hip injury, luckily, the doctor was able to repair it, and he was able to, you know, come back from it. Because I believe he had the same type of injury that Bo Jackson had. When Bo Jackson got hurt when he was playing for the Raiders back in the 90s, that same injury. And you know, the way I was looking at that season for the Los Angeles Raiders, I believe they was in L.A. at that time. That, you know, team I thought was going to go on to win the Super Bowl. I thought it was going to go on to represent the AFC and actually win the Super Bowl because that team was playing good ball. Then all of a sudden, Bo Jackson gets tackled. That hip came out of place or whatever, and it was over. It was over. But technology, years later, they figured out how to surgically repair that hip. And that's why they was able to bring Tua. That's why Tua was able to resume his career at a high rate of effectiveness, because doctors had found out how to repair that type of injury to allow a player to come back and continue to play. But that technology and the repairing of that hip probably opened the door for Tua Tagovailoa to come in and start dealing with a lot of concussions, which could possibly lead, unfortunately, to CTE later in life if he does not sit down. Bottom line, people, it's time for Tua Tagovailoa to go home, people. It's time for him to go home. He got to go home now. All the shots that he's taken all of his life playing football all of his life, all those shots in high school, all those shots in college, It's time for him to shut it down. All signs are pointing to the fact that Tua Tagovailoa won't be getting his helmet back. They're going to take it. They're not going to give him his helmet back, because if they leave it up to Tua, Tua's going to keep playing. If they gave Tua Tagovailoa a choice, Tua is going to keep playing. They got to take his helmet from him. The owner, the general manager, has to instruct the training staff, do not give him his helmet back for the rest of the season or next season. And Roger Goodell is going to put out to all the owners and general managers around the league, don't go trying to sign Tua Tagovailoa undercover. You know, don't go try to claim him on waivers. He's not playing in the NFL anymore. It's over. Tua Tagovailoa couldn't even play in the indoor football league right now. He can play in the fan control football league. He can't play in the USFL or the XFL. He's not going to be able to be touched. The word is going to go around to everybody that plays football: don't pick Tua Tagovailoa up. He's got to sit down. And I think Roger Goodell is going to make the decision. He's going to make that decision probably this summer, for everybody to know that he's not going to be participating in any padded workouts till they get some type of expert opinion that he can participate in football. But I'm going to be honest, I don't see him being allowed to participate in football any longer. Some of the media experts was on TV today saying that, you know, certain people that they know had to shut it down early in their career. By the time they were 30 years old because of concussions, they had to shut it down. They had to shut it down early in their career because of the same thing. Tua Tagovailoa is going to have to sit down. That's just the bottom line. They got to take his helmet from him and sit him down because he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it himself. He's not going to do it himself. He's going to keep on trying to play. He loves the game 9 times out of 10. And when a guy loves the sport, he loves being in the locker room. He loves being around the guys. It's hard for a man to just say, okay, I can't be around the guys anymore. I got to go home and mow the yard. I mean, that's Tom Brady. I mean, most people say that's what led to Tom Brady's divorce is because he just couldn't stay out the locker room. Wife wanted him at home. Wife said it's time for you to come home, spend time with the kids, go to soccer games and stuff like that, cut the grass, do your honey-do list. But Tom Brady was obviously was just like, no, I'm not ready to leave out the locker room yet. I'm not ready to leave. I don't want to leave the guys. I still want to be one of the guys. And so, you know, a lot of people say that's what led to him and his wife getting a divorce. Guys just can't leave it alone, can't walk away from it. I look at one of the guys, one of the great ones, in the most concussed sport, literally in the most concussed sport, professional boxing. In boxing, you can be walking around concussed a whole lot of times and don't know it or won't accept it. Like Lennox Lewis said, the great one, Lennox Lewis, a man who avenged every loss he ever had, avenged it. King of the mountain for a long time. King of the mountain. Lennox Lewis said, I'm quitting, I'm done. And he said, the drug in boxing, it has always been one more fight. That's the drug, the addiction in boxing, one more fight. It's hard for a man to walk away from it. Trust me, I know I used to box. I never made it as far as Lennox Lewis went. But I understand the love of it, the love of being in training camp, the love of being around the guys, the love of the coaching, the love of the training, the build-up to the fight. I never made it to the professional level there, but a lot of things came up in my life which hindered me from doing it, and all due to my own lack of discipline. But on the amateur level, I boxed throughout the military on the amateur level. But I understand it. I get it. The smell of the gym, being around the guys, the build-up of the moment, the build-up to the fight. And it's no different than football. Being in the locker room with the boys, the homies, the training, the conditioning, the build-up to the big game on Sunday. Tagovailoa is going to have a hard time walking away from it. That's why they got to take his helmet. They're going to take his helmet, people. You understand what I'm saying? They're going to protect Tua from himself and take his helmet. If you'd like to call in and discuss this topic, call in to 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. I can't wait till the top of the hour, 15 minutes after the hour. I got my man DC out of Maryland. He's going to be calling in, and we're going to get off into this thing with Tua Tagovailoa a little bit more. But I'm taking some time to really kind of, like, go over this. However, this isn't our main topic. We'll get to the Colts and the Chargers in a minute. We'll get to them. We'll get to the firing of Nathaniel Hackett for the Denver Broncos. We'll get to it in a minute. I want to take some time to talk about this situation with Tua Tagovailoa. Call in. I want to know what you think. Please call in. I want to know what you think about it. The NFL is getting to the point to where they're going to start saving guys from themselves. They're going to start all that stuff about having a 30-year career in the game, 25, 30 years in the game. That's going to be over with. It's going to be over with, people. I'm going to tell you why it's going to be over with. It's going to be over with because the NFL don't want the flack. they don't want it. That, you know, it's getting to the point now to where it's like moms are going to be like, oh, my son's not playing football. Oh, no, he's not. My son's not playing football. Simple as that. That's what it's going to get to. That's what it's going to get to. And just like boxing, they were trying to ban boxing at one time for the same reason. Guys walking around looking, talking like Muhammad Ali and look at Evander Holyfield right now. Look at Evander Holyfield. I think his speech is all messed up. Why is that, people? Why are these guys, you know how they say in boxing, the guy, they get older, they get kind of punchy. They get kind of punchy a little bit. Can't hardly talk because of shots, people. All the concussions, the brain damage, brain rattling around in your head. I ain't saying it happens to everybody. It don't happen to everybody in football. But it's happening to enough to where the NFL is saying, hey, this concussion protocol is serious. And it's probably going to get to a point to where they're going to start saying, if they suspect that a coach kept playing a guy and he kind of like was showing some symptoms and they put him back in the game or let the guy go back in on his own, they're going to probably start firing these teams and these coaches. They're going to probably start finding people. Because the thing about an athlete, a real athlete ain't going to be saying, hey, I can't go today. It's just like any other job. I'll put it like that. It's just like any other job. On any other job that we know, selling hot dogs, being a janitor, being a nurse, being a doctor, being an EMT, being a lawyer, whatever profession that you're in, when you love what you do, there is no, oh, I can't go today. I can't get up and go today. You're going to get out there and do your job. That's what Tua Tagovailoa is. He's not one of them guys that's going to be like, hey, I can't go today. He don't want to let his team down. He don't want to let the fans down. He don't want to let himself down. Based on what the media experts are saying on the monitor, people, Tua Tagovailoa is not getting his helmet back. I want some Miami Dolphins fans out there to call in to the show. Call in to the show and tell me what you're thinking. Call in to 515-602-9687. I'm excited to hear your opinion on this because this is a big deal. I'm trying to get my last couple weeks of sleep. And all I keep hearing on the monitor, Tua Tagovailoa and this concussion thing. Unfortunately, Tua Tagovailoa will not be playing football 9 times out of 10 ever. That thing is over. I mean, you got to think about this. I mean, this guy was laid out on the field concussed, and this the third situation he's had in a year, in a season. It's time for Tua to go home. It's time for Tua to take his ball and go home, as they say. I hate it for him. I hate it for him. But at the same time, the NFL, the game of football can't take another stain on his resume based on a guy taking too many shots. And this goes back to a lot of times, and I say this here for all these NFL camp hopefuls, for 2023 and last year's draft class, NFL camp hope for 2022. When it comes down to the offensive lineman position and it comes down to the quarterback position, you know, that's why you got to be good to play at the NFL level. So if you're an offensive lineman and you can't block and your quarterback keep getting hit like Tua Tagovailoa, that's just basically showing that one or two things. Either your offensive lineman is garbage or the quarterback is not smart enough to know how to get down and avoid taking those shots. That's why playing quarterback in the NFL and playing offensive lineman in the NFL, those are two critical positions on offense. All you NFL camp hopefuls from last year and that's coming up this year, if you want to know why you're not playing in the NFL, look at Tua Tagovailoa. That's probably why. Best way to get somebody hurt out there if you can't hold a block. Tua Tagovailoa can't be back there taking these kind of shots because the offensive line can't block. And the other thing is, if you play a quarterback, you got to know what the heck you're doing at the quarterback position too, to avoid from taking shots that can cause you to be concussed. You got to know how to slide. You got to know how to get down. You got to know how to get rid of the ball. You sit back. The longer you hold the ball, the offensive lineman can only block for so long. If you can't read the defense and get the ball down the field, you still got the ball in your hand. Defensive end and the defensive tackle, they're coming for you. They're coming for you. And if you still got the ball, you're probably going to get hit. So I try to tell you, street free agents, you want to know why you ain't in the NFL or why they ain't coming to these little small schools to find you? You want to know why? So they're already looking at it like this. If we start signing these kind of guys, it's a possibility somebody could get hurt. Y'all don't have the training at the highest level like these big Power 5 schools got. Y'all don't have the right height, size, this, that, and the other like these big Power 5 school athletes got. And so if you take a little small school, whether it be NCAA or NAIA, put them on the field with LSU, Alabama. Let them cut their teeth on them, and you'll see the talent disparity. That's why they're not letting you in there. These Power 5 schools got nothing but 3-, 4-, 5-star athletes. Yeah, they got all them kids that they're featured on National Signing Day and all that stuff. That's where those players go, Power 5 conferences. All the rest of y'all go to the small schools or lower-level FCS schools. It's a talent disparity. That's just food for thought. Why a lot of these NFL scouts are like, I'm not even wasting my time looking down there because they don't stack up. They'll put you out there 9 times out of 10. You're going to get somebody hurt. You're going to get somebody hurt. That's just the best way I can tell you. I ain't saying all of y'all because it's a diamond in the rough everywhere. I specialize in finding diamonds in the rough that can compete at that level. It's a 1% chance for everybody at those lower levels. It's a 1% chance to make it. That means you have a chance to make it. But the bigger nucleus of it, of guys in that player pool to make it to the NFL, is very slim and marginal. For the reason that we're talking about right now, you'll be the guy somebody hurt. Going up against five star talent, and you have no star, you'll be the guy like Tua Tagovailoa hurt, trying to play offensive lineman in the NFL. That's why they look for the best. And you can't play there until you get coached up and prove that you can hang at that level. So that's just food for thought for all you street free agents from that was in last year's draft class and still looking for an opportunity in the NFL, and all you guys that just played your last game in this past college season. It think about that. Just think about what I'm saying. You guys are looking at the fact, oh, I want to go to the NFL. I want to be part of the NFL. Then these scouts ain't crazy. These general managers ain't crazy. It's like, what are we going to bring this guy in here for? And he'll be the guy our quarterback hurt. No. Tua Tagovailoa, folks, again, based on what's coming across the monitor from the media experts, they're saying that Tua Tagovailoa probably is not getting his helmet back. And the way they're talking is like it's pretty much already agreed amongst all the media experts that he shouldn't be playing football any longer. And when the media starts saying he shouldn't be playing football any longer, what the heck do you think the NFL is going to do? The NFL is listening, just like I'm listening. And what they're going to do is say, you know what? It's a done deal. Breaking news, end of an era. J.J. Watt announces he will retire at the end of this season. There's another guy that can't stay healthy. Breaking news. J.J. Watt announces he will retire at the end of this season. It's time. It's time. Another guy that can't stay healthy. Another guy that's been injury prone the last couple seasons. And it's just time. It's just time. So, you know, I think definitely he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know what ballot, but I definitely think that he's a Hall of Famer. They want to know, will the three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year be a first ballot Hall of Famer? Will three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year? Yeah, that's a Hall of Famer. What ballot he's going to go in, I don't know. I don't know. He may have to wait 2 or 3 years, but he's definitely making it to the Hall of Fame. But it is, but they're saying that J.J. Watt announces he will retire at the end of this season. It's time. It's time. It's, you know, that's what I'm saying. You got to know when to give it up, guys. It come a time in everybody's life where you got to say, I got to take my ball and go home. Can't play that. Can't play these. You can't play full contact sports forever. Basketball is not a full contact sport, but it's enough contact on your body in basketball to where you can't play that forever. Father Time catches up to everybody. And so my whole thing is, you're looking at a contact sport, full contact, football, boxing, UFC, wrestling, even though that's scripted. Even the WWE, even though it's scripted, it hits up at full contact, people. Just because it's scripted don't mean it ain't contact. They got to take that bump. When you're dealing with a full contact sport, sometimes you got to say, I got to go home. I got to go home. Speaking of WWE, I was watching maybe summer before last. Not this past summer, but the summer before last. I was watching something about Mick Foley. Most of y'all know him as Mankind, Dude Love, Cactus Jack. Mick Foley. He said, in agonizing pain every day because of the stunts that he pulled in professional wrestling, jumping off the top of a doggone 20-foot cage, 20-foot high cage on top of a table. You know, I mean, if you've seen the documentary, you know what I'm talking about. Mick Foley pulled some stunts in WWE, but he's paying for it today. Full contact sport. Back to Tua Tagovailoa in the NFL. Again, people, I don't think Roger Goodell is going to give him his helmet back. NFL is taking too much bad pub for Junior Seau. When he killed himself, and others that died from CTE, from playing professional football, that doctor found that protein, I believe he said, growing in these football players' brains, and it's causing them to have suicidal tendencies and stuff of that nature. CTE, Tua Tagovailoa. For you to sit down, my man. I hate to say it, but it's time for you to sit down. 3 concussions in 1 season? No. Time to sit down. The media experts are saying, what's more important? You to recognize your family members? While you're still in your 30s and your 20s, 30s, and 40s, ain't it important for to recognize your family members' faces versus keep on trying to play, get CTE, and then don't recognize your own mom, your own dad, your own sisters and brothers. It come a time when you just got to sit down. It come a time where you just got to say, all the signs are pointing that it's time for me to, you know, stop playing football. I don't think he's getting his helmet back, people. And again, I know I'm off topic, but I'm just being honest. I don't think he's getting his helmet back. And I'm taking the time to talk about this stuff because CTE and the concussion protocols and stuff, this is serious stuff. It's serious business. And sometimes you got to save a guy from himself. Sometimes you got to save a guy from himself. It's hard for a guy to walk away from the game. Look at J.J. Watt again, breaking news. J.J. Watt announces he will retire at the end of the season. J.J. Watt for the Arizona Cardinals. Would a three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year be a first ballot Hall of Famer? I don't know. I'm just glad he's getting out the game. Been in the game a long time, had a lot of injuries, a lot of setbacks. Why? Contact sport. Full contact sport. Again, injuries. Well, at least he's getting out while he got all his faculties. At least he's getting out while he got all his marbles, as they say. He's getting out while he can. He's getting out while he can. Time for him to be getting out. Then, again, we got Tua Tagovailoa, who's probably right now telling everybody, I'll be back for the playoffs. Just hold it down for 1 week, I'll be back the last week. I don't see him getting it. I don't see him getting back on the field this year at all. I don't see him getting back in the field in the regular season playoffs. I don't see him getting back on the field for next year's camp. All the media experts are pointing to one conclusion. Tua Tagovailoa will not be allowed to play in the National Football League anymore. And he can't dip down. He cannot dip down to the XFL and the USFL to try to show people, let me prove to y'all I still got it. No. Because those leagues have like unwritten partnerships with the NFL and the CFL as well. They got those unwritten partnerships where they tell them, hey, listen, if you want us to take your players and move them up, players an opportunity to move up, don't sign to a tag of a law. When we tell you guys not to put one of our alumni back on the field, that's what we mean. And I think the NFL is serious about that when they start talking to people in the XFL, the USFL. You know, they start telling the people that's running those organizations, those leagues, don't give Tua a chance. We don't want to see him on TV trying to work his way back up. We said no. We said he has to sit down. He can't participate in padded football anymore. If he wants to be a commentator, he wants to be a coach, great. You want to go and be a preacher? I think he has a deep religious base. Preach, spread the gospel, whatever the case may be. Fine, do that. But he will not be getting back on the football field. And I think the word is going to go around to every league, indoor football league, National Arena League, fan-controlled football, which is getting pretty popular, you know, XFL, USFL, CFL. The NFL is going to put the word out to every level below it. Tua Tagovailoa is not to be seen with a helmet on trying to play professional football. It's not happening. Thank God the man was able to be like a first-round draft pick, if I'm correct. Won the Heisman, first-round draft pick. Probably got a big signing bonus that he's still living off of. That signing bonus he got when he came into the league, he's probably going to be able to live off that for the rest of his life. He'll probably be able to eat off of that for the rest of his life. He's luckier than most. Definitely luckier than me. He got an opportunity. He got life-changing money. He'll be fine. He'll get that great job on TV, you know, doing college football or pro football, whatever. He'll be fine. He's the type of guy that's, you know, I believe he has a deep religious base. He'll be able to move around as a missionary, spreading the word of God if that's what he so chooses to do. He's going to have a great life. He's going to be fine. But the way I'm seeing it is the days of Tua Tagovailoa coming on the field, suiting up in pads to go take the field. All signs are pointing towards those days are over. I don't believe that Roger Goodell in the front office, Troy Vincent in the front office, I don't think that they're going to sign off on Tua Tagovailoa continuing his professional football career. Not as a player, people. Sad day. sad day in the NFL. Sad day. Because I know that young man worked hard all his life to be the best that he can be in the sport. But concussion protocol and CTE, people, it's a serious thing. It's a black eye on this game, guy on the game. And I'm telling you right now, most of the media experts are saying that it's a done deal for Tua Tagovailoa. And other things on the news today, on the monitor, Nathaniel Hackett getting fired by the Denver Broncos. That's a big thing today. Nathaniel Hackett being fired by the Denver Broncos. You know, that's all over the news today. I think that happened last night. They cut bait with him yesterday. Sometime yesterday they cut bait with him. Nathaniel Hackett of the Denver Broncos is now out of a job. Good thing for him, plenty of money, you know, for the coach. He got life-changing money, so he'll be all right. He'll wind up probably coaching somewhere, maybe college or something like that. I don't see him coming back to the NFL. When you can't win with a guy like Russell Wilson, I mean, come on. You can't win with Russell Wilson? Come on, people. Russell Wilson ain't never looked this bad. In any football season, he's never looked this bad. You're talking about a man that went to the Super Bowl two times. You're talking about a man arguably had the ability to escape. He's Kyler Murray before Kyler Murray. I mean, come on. Nathaniel Hackett, you can't win with Russell Wilson. Now, some people are saying, oh, well, Russell slowed down. Let Russ cook is gone. That's over with. He's older. He's slower. I don't believe that. I believe he still can't escape if he wanted to. The problem is they want him to sit in the pocket. Sit in the pocket like a traditional quarterback, make your reads and get the ball, do your checkdowns and get the ball down the field quick as you can. That ain't his game. His game is I'm going to scramble. I'm going to take off. That's Russell Wilson's game. I'm going to take off. If I don't see it, no big deal. I'm going to take off. That man been playing football that way all his life. He's been playing football that way all his life. Why change it? It's like Ben Simmons in the NBA. Oh, make a great defender and a great post position player. Make him a shooter. Teach him how to shoot. Stupid. We're trying to change these guys' game. Nathaniel Hackett fired from the Denver Broncos. Why? Wasn't smart enough to let Russell Wilson play like Russell Wilson. You bring him in there, you tell him, oh, I'm gonna teach you how to be a 6 foot five, 235 pound, 240 pound, stand in the pocket quarterback. Come on, people, get out of here. That ain't his game. So you know, guys, they got to take the street free agent route, playing in pro developmental film leagues. The National Arena League, I'm going to give you an example. In the NAL, National Arena League, and I'm just using this as an example, they use a traditional stand-in-the-pocket quarterback. They don't want their quarterback running for first downs. They want the quarterback to stay in the pocket and throw the ball, okay? In the Indoor Football League, however, the quarterback is the second or third running back. Why? Because they want a dual-threat quarterback, one that can run and throw. So sometimes if you're a dual-threat quarterback, a lot of times the NAL won't even pick you up to play in that league because they don't want you running around. They want you just get the ball downfield, you know. And then if you are a dual-threat quarterback, the IFL will take you because they want a dual-threat quarterback. They don't want a big quarterback. They just stand in the pocket and won't run, won't use his legs. They don't want that. So the point that I'm making, Russell Wilson is a dual threat type of quarterback. But when you keep trying to change a person's style of play and turn them into something that they never were all their life, you're doing yourself a disservice. And I think that's what Nathaniel Hackett and his coaching staff wanted Russell Wilson to come in there and do it. Say, hey, here's your armband. You got about 100 plays on your wristband. go through them, you know these plays and everything like that, and play the game off your wristband. Be cerebral. Don't be physical. Be cerebral. Some quarterbacks ain't cerebral like that. Some quarterbacks just see the game another way, like Kyler Murray. They try to hit him with the same crap. Oh, we want you to stand in the pocket and make reads and do your check downs. And Kyler Murray too little for that. Russell Wilson too little for that. Them guys are used to getting out of harm's way and making the play. Same thing with Lamar Jackson. Oh, you know, he won't stand in. He won't just stand in there and do his check downs. For what? I'm Lamar Jackson. I got legs. Speaking of Lamar Jackson, we'll be talking about that 15 minutes into the second hour coming up. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Today's topic is NFL Week 16 and Monday Night Football Action Recap. The hosts will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global audience. Topics covered will be Monday Night Football, Week 16 Chargers versus Colts, Baltimore Ravens, and, but not limited to, NBA, New York Knicks, and Los Angeles Lakers. The show's number one sports contributor, D.C. from Maryland, will, but not limited to, the following topics: Julius Randle, Lamar Jackson, LeBron James, Justin Herbert. Speaking of Justin Herbert, last night the San Diego Chargers got a big win in Monday Night Football action against the Colts. The Los Angeles Chargers defeated the Indianapolis Colts, securing their playoff spot. So the Los Angeles Chargers have clinched. Formerly the San Diego Chargers, I still have to catch myself saying San Diego, because a lot of people here in San Diego still love the Chargers. They were here for forever. So, you know, it's that's been our team for a long time. So, you know, I still have to catch myself and not say San Diego Chargers, but the now LA Chargers has clinched their playoff spot by defeating the Indianapolis Colts last night in Monday Night Football action. Justin Herbert, he played well enough to secure the victory. I'll let you know the score when it comes back up on the TV. But, so the Chargers, they took care of business last night and secured their playoff spot in the AFC playoff. Yeah, on Christmas Day, we had some Christmas Day games, a lot of NFL, a lot of NBA. DC, our number one sports contributor, he's a big New York Knicks fan. But surprisingly, the Knicks had, up until three games ago, had an eight-game winning streak, but they dropped the last three. So I'm wondering how long it's going to take them to come out of this skid. Definitely DC when he comes on. DC out of Maryland, our number one sports contributor, he will clarify the woes that's facing the New York Knicks. I don't know if maybe the 10-game winning streak, I don't know if it went to their head. Maybe guys just like, hey, we got this. We're going to be playing Boston in the conference finals. We got this. And don't get me wrong, the Knicks got a squad. They got a damn good squad this year. Got an experienced coach, damn good squad. But, you know, you was on an 8-game win streak, and now you just dropped the last three, including one nationally televised on Christmas Day, where you got beat on Christmas Day. So, and DC did predict that the Knicks always have a letdown on Christmas Day. I don't even think he can explain why, but they always have a letdown on Christmas Day. And like you said, it could be a team they just beat a week or two ago bad, and then on Christmas Day they'll play that same team and just lay an egg, as they say. But, you know, we get off into some of that 15 minutes into hour number two. So we're going to be talking all things Baltimore Ravens. They won their game this weekend. D.C. out of Maryland again, he's a big fan of the Baltimore Ravens, so he'll let us know what their position in the playoffs is looking like currently, how that's looking for them. I forgot who they beat, but they did win. They beat the Falcons. They done us a favor and beat the Falcons. However, even though they beat the Falcons, who are behind my beloved New Orleans Saints in the NFC South. The Falcons are in last place, but the Saints are still in third place because Carolina failed to lose. Carolina didn't do us a favor. They failed to lose this weekend, so they've already beaten us. So now they're still ahead of us, and we're in third. Tom Brady didn't do us a favor either. It seemed like when Tom Brady found out that the Saints were positioning themselves to be right behind them in the standings, right up on their heels, he shut the door on it again. That's what I keep saying. The great ones, when they say no, it's no. Tom Brady said, I understand that the New Orleans Saints, again, they're still trying to raise their head up to sneak into the playoffs, and he's saying, no, I'm coming out of the South. I'm coming out of the NFC South. It's not going to be you guys. He said no, again, by winning his game against the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday night. He took their business Sunday night against the Arizona Cardinals. Tom Brady, again, did that thing that he does that nobody can explain it. I always break it down as leadership, intensity, and it's I had a little formula I got to think about what I say. It's a three-part thing that Tom Brady has that when he wants to take over a game at the end, it definitely has a lot to do with his leadership, though. He's a leader. He stays calm. You know, he'll just tell his guys, hey, just give me the ball. Defense, make a stop, and I'll do the rest. Defense, just give me two stops, I'll do the rest. Just give me the ball back. Give me the ball back with at least 9 seconds left on the clock at the end, and I'll get us in. He does it every time. It's unexplainable, people. The Saints could have moved up to second place in the standings, but again, Tom Brady said, no, I'm not losing. I'm not losing. I'm going in. Right now, Tampa Bay Bucs, they're sitting in there with 7 wins in the division leadership category when you look at the playoff bracket. You ain't got to be strong in the NFC South because everybody in the NFC South is weak. You don't have to be strong this year. You can be weak. When Tom Brady, when he says no, it's no. When the great one says no, it's no. And he told the Saints again. We tried to sneak up there right behind them, get right behind them and battle them for that division lead. Tom Brady shut the door on us. No, you're not going. You're not going to be in the playoffs this year. That's what he told the Saints. And I hate to say it that way because the Saints are my beloved team. But it seems like every time we try to make a push and get that lead, that division lead, or get right in the second place to kind of like push at the end, Tom Brady keeps slamming the door on us. No, no, no. I'm keeping you guys 2 games behind. You guys 2 games behind me at all times. Everybody's going to be 2 games behind me. That's the way he's playing this out. Currently, I think Carolina is right. Is there 1 game behind because they did beat the Bucs. Carolina's beating everybody in the division. And like my number one sports contributor, DC, was saying, it's the division games that get a lot of us. Because when you lose your division games, those are your tiebreakers. Even though you might win some games out of conference, but when it comes down to that division, and you can't win in your division, those are the tiebreakers. Those are the games that kind of put you back a little bit. You got to take care of business in your division. That's why the whole goal is just win your division. Win the division. If you can win the division, you're good. Win your division. Because if you're a division leader, hey, you get to host the playoff game, if I'm correct. But if I'm incorrect, please call into the show at area code 515-602-9687. 515-602-9687. Call into the show and correct me or debate me. And again, today's topic is NFL Week 16 and Monday Night Football recap. Breaking news, J.J. Watt is going to be calling it an end to his illustrious football career at the end of the season. Breaking news, J.J. Watt will be retiring at the end of the season. They're asking across the monitor, are the Chargers a serious playoff contender? Are the Chargers a serious playoff contender? Yeah, I believe the Chargers are a serious playoff contender, as long as everybody can stay healthy. If they can stay healthy and keep everybody, if they can stay healthy, and if they can just, you know, continue to play as a team, I think they'll be all right. Because Justin Herbert is a hell of a quarterback. So, you know, we'll see what happens in the playoff picture. They're also asking, they're also saying across the monitor that the Clippers erase a 14-point fourth quarter deficit to defeat the Pistons in overtime. Clippers erase 14-point fourth quarter deficit to defeat the Pistons in overtime. Are the Clippers a legit threat in the Western Conference? Clippers defeat the Pistons 142-131 in overtime. As long as they got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George on the court together, the Clippers are always going to be hard to beat with that combination. PG-13 and doggone Kawhi Leonard on the court together is always a threat. I didn't see the game, so I don't know if Kawhi was on the court or not. Doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like he was on the court. Looked like PG-13 was handling everything. And everything like that, him and man, looked like they were handling everything last night. But however, we got to win. You know, the Clippers used to be San Diego, so I always roll with people that had their franchises here. Now the Clippers are in L.A. as the L.A. Clippers, not the San Diego Clippers, but still got a lot of diehard NBA fans out here in San Diego. They remember the Clippers were here for a long time in San Diego till. They moved up to L.A. But anyway, I like the Clippers. I think long as you got a healthy Kawhi Leonard and a healthy Paul George on the court at the same time, they're definitely a serious threat in the Western Conference. But we'll get off into that a little bit more. We're going to take a quick station break here. And we'll get back to you here shortly. So stand by. We're going to go off into our music mix, and then we'll be back in about 10 minutes. Stand by. Hello and good morning. Welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. To call in to correct or debate the host, call in to 515-602-9687. Again, 515-602-9687 if you want to call in and boast about the sport you love the most. Today's topic is NFL Week 16 and Monday Night Football action recap. Chargers defeated the Colts 20-3. Chargers defeated the Colts 20-3 last night in Monday Night Football action, and they clinch a playoff spot. The LA Chargers, formerly the San Diego Chargers, the LA Chargers have clinched a playoff spot. Justin Herbert and the Chargers clinched first playoff berth since 2018. How far can Herbert carry this team in the postseason? Well, I think Herbert can carry this team as far as he allows himself to carry them. If he can eliminate any mistakes, if he can eliminate mistakes and then the team can avoid injury, then I believe that that they can go pretty far in the playoffs. I think they can go pretty far. I'm just happy to see them make it, you know, first time since 2018. They defeated Jeff Saturday and the Colts last night 20-3. Big question is, as far as that game goes, did Jeff Saturday just sign his own walking papers? Did he just sign his own walking papers? Because, you know, him losing that game last night, they might have put the decision in Jim Irsay's head. Go ahead and get rid of Saturday too. I thought he could coach this team and get them on a winning streak at least for the last few games of the season, but he hadn't been able to clinch a win. I think he only won one game, and that was against the Raiders. The first game, everything else, they played some tough games, they played some close games, but Jeff Saturday has not been able to lead this team to victory, you know, more than one time. So I think that Jim Irsay, looking at it last night, probably said, you know what, Saturday won't be invited back to coach this team. I'm going to put him back in a consulting position or maybe make him the offensive line coach. But Saturday will be back, dropping the game last night 20-3, you know, only putting up 3 points on Monday Night Football in prime time in a game with playoff implications. I don't think he'll be coming back. You got a lot. Got Sean Payton. He's out there. A lot of people saying Sean Payton's going to the Denver Broncos. But Nathaniel Hackett, he's out. Nathaniel Hackett is out. You know, so it's just a crazy situation. Broncos at the Chiefs Sunday, 1 Eastern. They're minus, you know, they're Chiefs minus 13.5. Broncos at Chiefs minus 13.5 Sunday, 1 Eastern. Hackett fired after 4-11 record in his first season with the Broncos. Who should Denver target to replace Nathaniel Hackett? Again, Hackett fired after 4-11 record in the first season with the Broncos. Who should Denver target to replace Nathaniel Hackett? A lot of people saying Sean Payton, but you also got guys like Eric Bieniemy out there. You also have the former Dolphins head coach. I forgot the young man's name. It'll come to me in a minute, but you know, he's still out there. I think he's working as a defensive assistant for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I mean, you know, he had the Dolphins on a win streak. He had the Dolphins winning, you know, with Tua Tagovailoa and with the bearded one. I forget Fitzmagic. He had them winning, and I'm just trying to think of the coach's name that was there, but with the Dolphins before this current coach. He's available to go to Denver. Eric Bieniemy is available to go to Denver. A couple of different assistants around the league can go. I was just trying to figure out where did Nathaniel Hackett come from in the first place, because I never really heard much about him. It's like a guru, like a Sean McVay type of great assistant, smart person. Oh, yeah, give him the job. I don't know how Hackett got this job, but – you know, however, he couldn't win with Russell Wilson. If you can't win with a Russell Wilson, a guy that's been to the Super Bowl twice, a guy that got physical attributes to get out of harm's way, If you can't win with that kind of player, who can you win with? So did he deserve to be fired? Yeah. Why did he deserve to be fired? Because just like all these other coaches that are trying to change people's playing style, I don't care what sport you're in, when you're trying to take these guys and turn them into something that they're not, don't look to be successful. The guy has been playing a certain way all of his life because of his physical limitations. And then you're trying to basically take those physical limitations and make him rely on his physical limitations rather than his physical attributes. I think it's kind of stupid. Meaning, oh, hey, Russell Wilson, this is what we want to do in Denver. We want to stand in the pocket quarterback, make your reads, be cerebral, use your wristband, change up the plays. And Russell Wilson's looking like, yeah, okay, yeah, I can do that. But then we see that, no, you really can't do that because that's not your playing style. When you just get the first down. Just get the freaking first down. Same thing with Kyler Murray. Oh, yeah, you know, we're going to make him study his playbook. We're going to put it in the contract. He has to do his homework at night. So stupid. The dude's is a physical talent. Let him use his legs. Excuse me. But when it comes down to it, you got all these people, all these experts in sports, all these coaches. Oh, yeah, you know, if he keeps running, he won't be able to stay in the league that long. Look at Tua Tagovailoa. Do you think these guys need to stay in the league any more than 3 years anyway? Getting beat on like that? You know, anywhere from 3 to 4 years, I think your career probably needs to be over with anyway in full contact sports. I'm a little biased toward boxing because boxing, we are, you know, in my opinion, you already know what you're getting in there for. Boxing and UFC, you already know what time it is. You going in there to get hit and to hit people. It's fighting. So, you know, if a guy want to do a 20-year career, I'm a little biased in boxing. You want to do 20-year career or whatever, however long you want to box, that's your business. Father Time catches up with everybody in all sports, though. But just like Lennox Lewis said, the drug in boxing is one more fight. The drug in boxing is one more fight. But going back to Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, all these running quarterbacks, dual threat quarterbacks, they want to discourage them from being a dual threat quarterback because they say, well, your career won't be long. Well, Tua Tagovailoa is not a dual threat quarterback, although he probably could be, but I believe he's more of a stay in the pocket type of quarterback. Look at him today. Look at him today. Talk about being cerebral. Talk about using your armband to with all the plays, changing up plays, staying in pocket, making your reads. And look at him now, back in concussion protocol. Probably won't pick up another helmet again for nobody because I think the NFL is going to put the silent word out. Hey, nobody pick him up on waivers. Nobody. They ain't trying to touch these owners and general managers are not trying to touch Tua Tagovailoa after the season. So as soon as something happens to him, that organization that signs him is going to get the blame for CTE and all this stuff. There's going to be another lawsuit on the NFL, another ugly stain on the game of football, because why? You didn't have the guts to tell the man you're not getting your helmet back. We're not going to give you your helmet back. You're done. Go home. Rest. Get better. Get well. Start your life. Football is over. Problem is, again, like I was saying in the first hour of the show, when the guy can't stay out the locker room, it's tough. It's tough. When somebody has to literally tell you, hey, man, it's over. You're not going to be able to play anymore. When the doctors start telling you, hey, man, it's beginning to be a health risk for you to be on the field. It's starting to become a health tough. So I got my man, look like my man DC from Maryland's calling in right now. Stand by, DC. We're going to get – let me lead into you. Just stand by for a second. And for everybody that's tuning in – this is the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, and I'm your host, Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. And today's topic is NFL Week 16 and Monday Night Football recap. But before I get on the topics with my man DC calling in from Maryland, he's going to be breaking down the Baltimore Ravens, New York Knicks on their three-game skid. They were on an eight-game win streak. Now they're on the three-game skid, so I don't know why they're playing like stir-fry right now. And then they lost a game on Christmas Day, which DC did predict that they would drop it, would lay an egg on Christmas Day. We'll be talking about a little bit about Julius Randle, Lamar Jackson, LeBron James, Justin Herbert. You know, LeBron James, meaning the Lakers lost on Christmas Day as well to the Dallas Mavericks. They lost. I think LeBron James had a good game, but they couldn't pull it out. But I'm gonna kind of like lead into my man DC with this here one. DC, do we agree that Tua Tagovailoa has played his last game in the NFL? All the media experts are saying, pointing to the fact that they're not giving him his helmet back. Never, not just this season, not postseason, not next summer camp. It seems like the word around the league is going to come from Roger Goodell and Troy Vincent to tell the owners and general managers, you're not going to be able to touch Tua Tagovailoa. Don't pick him up on waivers. Don't give him a helmet. He's not going to be able to get a helmet back. DC, do you agree with that, my man? And what is it about these guys where they just can't give up the game when it's time when it's time for them to go home? What is it mentally why they let go of the locker room, why they can't accept the fact that they're not one of the guys, they're not in the locker room, they're not in the gym, you're not in that environment anymore? What's going to be so hard? Why is it going to be hard for Tua Tagovailoa to let this go, this lifestyle? But anyway, good morning, DC. Go ahead with that. Good morning, sir. Go ahead.
Morning. I do think that his NFL career is in jeopardy. With all of the active CTE cases that we know about, the football players who resulted in violence towards themselves, their family members, and all that, and when they analyzed the brain, they found out they had severe CTE. I do think it's plausible that his NFL career is coming to an end. I would say this. I think for Miami, they should look at another quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater is not the guy. And Teddy Bridgewater was a solid quarterback. I mean, you know, he did well with Minnesota, all the Saints, all the teams he played for, he did well. But in the end,
he played for the Saints.
He didn't. I'm sorry. I'm getting confused with another black quarterback. No, he did not play for the Saints. But he played for the Vikings.
Yeah, he did. He played for the Saints.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I was right. But my point is all of the things that he's done, he's on the downside of his career. So they clearly need a backup. They also need, obviously, another guy, because Tua, even if he continues to play, he's clearly injury-prone. He's got to go, right? And so I agree with you that it's probably the end of his career. I think Miami should look for someone else.
But speak to the fact that Roger Goodell, Troy Vincent with the NFLPA in the front office, speak to the fact that they're probably already making phone calls in private to general managers and owners. He's done. Don't try to pick them up on waivers. Is that happening?
I don't think that the commissioner would do that. Remember, he represents all the players and all the owners. So I don't think he would do that. But I think I would not be shocked if he's not within circles saying, "Hey, man, do we really want to do this?" I wouldn't be shocked. But I know he would probably stay clear, because if I'm the owner of Miami Dolphins, I would be like, why are you trying to derail my quarterback's livelihood? And if it got out that he was doing that, that would open Roger Goodell up to a lawsuit. And so I don't see that. But I definitely could understand why they wouldn't, you know, again, why you wouldn't want him to, you know, continue to play. His health is definitely in question.
Segwaying to the Baltimore Ravens, y'all got a big win this weekend against the Falcons. Y'all done us a favor. However, we're still in third place with the Saints in the NFC South. We're still in third place, but y'all done us a favor and kept the Falcons behind us. What is the playoff picture looking for right now with the Baltimore Ravens, and what is the health of one such Lamar Jackson?
Well, number one, I was disappointed in the game, and I appreciate we helped you out, and obviously – I knew we were going to win the game. That wasn't the question for me. It was the optics. The offense just did not look good. The quarterback looked like a backup. The play calling was super predictable. And I felt like after the heat the offensive coordinator took with his job in jeopardy, he should have came out and called the masterpiece. And he didn't. It wasn't even.
Yeah.
It was horrible. And so, John Harbaugh has been very quiet on whether Lamar Jackson is going to practice. The word is he's going to get out there today and see, and test the knee out and see how he feels, and then they would make a decision. I actually don't see him playing this week. My wife's in the medical field, and she said, I'm telling you, that injury is a solid 4 to 6 weeks. And just for a regular person to just get up and move around, let alone somebody getting tackled and running and getting hit and landing on that knee. So I don't see him playing this week at all.
Yeah, because one thing about it, it's cold out there where you guys are. It's cold, and then, you know, that leg gets stiff, that injury gets stiff. Once the doctor starts poking on that thing, stretching that thing, and then he's like, oh, I'm in so much pain. I don't see him coming out there. I think your significant other is correct. I agree.
Yep, I think he's done. For this week, I do – now, against the Bengals, yeah, I see that. In the playoffs, yeah, I see that. But this week, nah.
Yeah. Now, Chargers, we clinched last night, and on Monday Night Football, we clinched the playoff berth. Did that put Jeff Saturday's job in jeopardy? Because they're saying that Jim Irsay is saying Jeff Saturday is an outstanding candidate for head coaching job in 2023. Do you see Saturday coming back for the Colts, or do you see them moving on to a Sean Payton, Eric Bieniemy, you know, somebody like that?
Well, unfortunately, I think that they should move on. I do think that they're going to offer – I think because of the backlash they took over the Rooney Rule and them hiring this guy off the couch – you know, out of the booth and putting them on the team. I think they're going to have a hiring process. That doesn't mean that he won't win it again, but I think that they'll at least put on a show. But that's been coming back to haunt a lot of ownerships now. The last couple of black coaches that didn't get hired, that's literally what they were saying. They were like, man, I could tell while I was in the interview that I was just there because of the Rooney Rule, that they had no intentions of hiring me, that they were just putting on a show. And so that, of course, started becoming a big deal. And then, I don't know if you remember, but they came out, Roger Goodell and Troy Vincent and all of them was like, oh, no, that's not the purpose of the rule. And they were like, yeah, but that's what's happening. So I think Jeff Saturday's going to get a fair shake? Yeah, I do. I think they're going to interview a lot of other players, a lot of other coaches you talked about. You know, what goes against Jeff Saturday winning the job is the Colts' embarrassing loss where they gave up the record comeback to the Vikings. To me,
right,
that shows that he's not ready for that position. To me. But I could see him getting the job next year.
Can he take us to a AFC championship?
I was disappointed. His numbers were horrible. He's my fantasy quarterback, believe it or not, and his numbers were horrible. In fact, I can't remember when his numbers looked great. All season, his numbers was horrible. Did he make all the right throws? I mean, he had the one pick or whatever, but did he make all the right throws? Did he get the ball to the playmakers? Sure, right. But I mean, dude's numbers were horrible. You know, he only gave me 5 points in fantasy yesterday. That was horrendous. No starting quarter. Let me say this. Ritter, the quarterback for Atlanta, had more than 5 fantasy points against the Ravens. And so Herbert did not look good at all. Horrible. You know, will he do better next week? He better, because if he doesn't, I'm going to go home in my fantasy football playoffs, and I'm the number one seed. If Herbert gives me 5 points next week, I'm done.
Wow.
Going back to you, you asked me about the Chargers. I apologize for my segue. But do I think you guys could win the first round? I do. I would love to see you guys play Cincinnati in the first game as the 3-6, but then that doesn't work for me as a Ravens fan, right? Because if Cincinnati's the 3 and you guys are the 6, that means Cincinnati won a division, and that means the Ravens lost at least one of their last 2 games. So that doesn't work for me. If the Ravens win the division and they're the 3 seed and you guys become the 6 seed, you guys will go home against the Ravens because Herbert would throw some pick sixes against the Baltimore secondary because that's what he looks like, right? He has the arm.
Right.
He's a gunslinger. You guys got the weapons. Man, do you have the weapons. Your run game's nice. Your wide receivers on the outside is nice. Your tight end is nice. You guys got pass-catching tight ends. You got slot tight ends. I mean, you guys offensively are great. The question is he going to make it happen? And, you know, Herbert's last great game was week 12 against Arizona, if you want to be honest, where he threw 3 touchdowns. It was week 12. Week 13 against the Raiders, he only threw 1. Week 14 against the Dolphins, he only threw 1. Against Tennessee, he had no touchdowns and 2 picks. So he hasn't been playing well lately. But, you know, I know that injury hurt him. It's almost like after he had that injury, he really never rebounded with the ribs.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because he was on fire until that. And then he just never seemed to come back. It's almost like he's gun-shy about really letting the ball go and getting hit, you know. So that's a concern.
Well, they got Jets -2.5 Sunday. Mike White cleared to play. And then rumor has it that they're going to be cutting Zach Wilson. Jets are going to be cutting Zach Wilson in the offseason. Is that fair to cut a young man so early in his career? You know, first round pick. Is it fair to just send the guy home already?
Yep. And here's the reason. The money. So you got to remember that you're only as good as your talent, right? Like your talent is only going to take you so far. Everyone has a cost-benefit factor. You know, I used to date this chick, and she said that her previous boyfriend told her she was starting to cost him more than she was worth. And I chuckled at the statement because I knew what he was saying, right? No matter who you are, you have a value. And when you are not meeting your value, then you're expendable. Antonio Brown was a tremendous wide receiver for the value, right? You think of the Steelers got him as a fifth-round draft pick out of Central Michigan, a small college in the MAC conference, not even right. That's not even a big name football conference, and they got this gem, right? Incredible athlete, makes great catches, right? But it got to a point where his off the field antics wasn't worth his talent, right? It was like, okay, what do we got here? We got a guy that's a great athlete, but can we do this without him? And the argument was, yeah, we can draft another one of these guys. Okay, well then, how long are we going to stay married to this one guy when we can draft another one of these guys, you know? And so that's what I'm saying here. I'm saying when your talent isn't as good as your value anymore, they'll let you go.
They're saying on the monitor that Tyler Higbee for the Rams is saying that Baker Mayfield has proven he belongs in the NFL. You got Rams at the Chargers minus 6.5 on Sunday. Tyler Higbee is giving the endorsement for Baker Mayfield, I guess, to return back next year. Is that fair to Matthew Stafford? Is that fair for him?
It is, because what you're saying is you're saying that Baker Mayfield is a starting quarterback in the NFL. That's what you're saying, you know, and that's fair, right? It also says that he does have some supporters in his locker room. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be there, but it does say that. Now, you know, if you are the Rams, it wouldn't be wrong to want to keep Baker to back up Matthew Stafford. Clearly, Matthew Stafford is the more accomplished quarterback. So there's no argument there. But if you're Baker Mayfield,
well, I wouldn't say that. What I'm saying is I kind of disagree with you on the fact that that Stafford is a more accomplished quarterback, because you got to remember he was horrible in Detroit for years. Then he goes and then he goes to doggone. They do a quarterback swap with the Rams, and they send Jared Goff packing, who he's now got his team position to go to the playoffs. They gave Stafford a ready-made team. They gave him a Super Bowl team already. They had already been to the Super Bowl with Goff, and then they get Stafford, and, you know, he just inherited a great team. So I don't know if I want to say that he's that much more better than Baker. I mean, think about that for a minute.
Well, I'll tell you this. Matthew Stafford, his whole career has been a gunslinger. And he was always the guy. Like, Detroit was known as a tough out. Like, even if you beat the Lions, you never blew them out. You just barely won. Because Matthew Stafford always kept them in the game. They lost so many games on last second, last minute, you know, plays it took the Ravens, it took Justin Tucker kicking an NFL record field goal for the Ravens to lead Detroit as with a win, right? I mean, because Matthew Stafford was just that, he's that dude. He just never got the press and never got the respect. That's why I said to me, he's a more accomplished quarterback than Baker. Baker is known for having better commercials than anything. All right.
Well, you got to admit those commercials are darn entertaining.
Right, but again, he's not that well liked in the locker room. He's been known to be arrogant. Matthew Stafford never had all that. Matthew Stafford made the Pro Bowl before he won the Super Bowl. I mean, Matthew Stafford has never been a bum. Baker Mayfield, it was argued that he was a bum. He only had one good year, and that was a few seasons ago. So, and Baker Mayfield needed to go down to Carolina and really show what he could do, and he didn't. And that's why he was the third string guy in Carolina. So I'm not willing to say that Baker Mayfield, Matthew Stafford and Baker Mayfield has the same career. I wouldn't be willing to say that at all.
Well, let's segue over to the NBA. The Knicks started, you know, last couple weeks, 8-game win streak. You know, they were hot. They got a squad. They were hot. 3-game losing streak now. I mean, what's going on, man, in the locker room? What's going on in Madison Square Garden?
Well, I'm glad you bring it up. And the problem in it, and I talked about it before, it's that 9-man rotation. The 9-man rotation is great for playoff basketball, but it's not sustainable over an 82-game NBA season. And if you look at the minutes, if you look at the box score of the Knicks game, you'll see that their starters average 30 minutes a game. And what happens is when your starters are averaging 30 minutes a game, they're tired. And so and if you saw that game, you saw it. They just started clanking. Every shot started clanking. It wasn't necessarily a bad possession. They just was missing shots. And they're not a great jump shooting team. And so when everybody went cold at the same time, that became a problem. The other thing is this. No low post presence, right? They don't want Mitchell Robinson to become a Shaquille O'Neal or Olajuwon or not even a respectable low post game. And so because they don't want that from him, they didn't have a guy that when the jump shots wasn't falling, that they could pump the ball down low and at least get to the free throw line and stop the clock and put points on the board. So that's where they're limited. But I believe that's coaching. I still am not a fan of Thibodeau because you got to know your rotation. If you see, man, these guys' legs has died, right, then you need to bring in some fresh players. And what if he had brought in my man from France, the guard they got? What if he had brought him in, right, and he started shooting well? Right, then you would have been like, you know, and he could have saved the day, right? It would have made for good TV and a national audience, and it would have supported, you know, I'm talking about Fournier. It would have supported the trade for Fournier, but he didn't want to bring in Fournier. He didn't want to bring in Cam Reddish, right? And after the game, they interviewed the one kid that kept hitting all them wide open threes. And he said, oh, the defense they were playing against me, I ain't seen that since college. He said, every time I got the ball, he said, they sagged off me, and they were running a certain defensive formation. He's like, but I haven't seen that in the pros. I've only seen that in college. And the guy that made that comment is a bench player for Philly. Well, he's not even a star. So that's what I'm saying here. I'm saying you've got a coach that is running a system that's not effective. So I'm not shocked at the loss. I was disappointed, though. I was disappointed, but I'm not shocked.
Well, you predicted they were going to lay an egg.
Well, I was concerned. I thought that it, you know, that best case was to take it in overtime and maybe pull it out. But I did say that. I was concerned. And so that's what happened, you know. So it was disappointing on that end. But at the same token, again, coaching. I talk about all the time, coaching.
What was Julius Randle's numbers on Christmas Day?
He played a good game. You know, he did. I believe he had 35 points. You know, on 50% shooting. So did he put up good numbers in the box score? Sure. But it didn't make a difference in the game because he didn't it didn't make a difference in the game. You know.
I heard something going on about a lawsuit or something against the Knicks about tampering for Brunson. Did I hear that correctly? Is that something still going on?
Yeah, the word is they're going to lose a second round pick for that. That's the word that they're going to lose, which is fine. You know, I think it's a hard thing when your father is a coach for the team that you're trying to be a free agent and sign with. Because that's Jalen Brunson's dad is Rick Brunson, who played on those Knicks teams in the 90s. He was the backup point guard behind Charlie Ward and Chris Childs was Rick Brunson, right? And Rick Brunson, who's the third point guard for the Knicks back then, is now a coach for the Knicks. So how do you have a conversation with your dad and he not tell somebody in the staff, a general manager, an assistant general manager, even a snippet of the conversation a man had with his son? So I'm not shocked.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that one plays out. LeBron James on Christmas Day faced Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. Why LeBron couldn't pull it off? Why is he having such a hard time pulling off a win when AD ain't on the court with him? Why can't him and Russ get their two-man game going?
I told you, man, that roster is poorly constructed. They don't have any other real players. That Lonnie Walker can put up numbers, but he's not going to steal it. He's not going to lead no team. He's not that kind of player. They don't have that guy on their team. They're always going to struggle.
What about none?
The Lakers are not going to get the Lakers are not going to get better until they do addition by subtraction.
None can't
hold. No, Kendrick Dunn. No, please. That's why Chicago let him go. Good athlete. He's a younger Westbrook. Good athlete. Great. You know, great going to the basket. You know, like any. I mean, he's got talent like any NBA player. But no, not at all. No.
Speaking of guys going to the basket, it was stated in the news and all the media experts are saying that Ja Morant was, you know, running his mouth a little bit about, anything about nobody in the West. We're just trying to, you know, the only people that we got to worry about is the Celtics in the finals. I think they got whipped pretty handily on Christmas Day. What did you say about his cashmere attitude about this whole thing in the West?
I thought it was great, and I thought that I like what he said. And I'll tell you this: while Golden State won that game, it's clear that Golden State doesn't have the record this season that Memphis do. And so it was great that he did that. But the reality is that Golden State's not going to be able to. They're not even playing 500 basketball. They're not even playing 500 basketball. They got blew out by the Knicks on national television a couple of weeks ago, right? So they're not built, right? Even without Steph, there's holes in their game. So they're gonna have to get better, right? Their egos came out to play, and I saw Klay Thompson's comment. He said, you know, you can't talk about having a dynasty if you haven't even won a ring yet. And he's like,
well, he got a point.
Yeah, I mean, he's right. And that's in any sport, right? You know, you got to win at least one. And then maybe one back-to-back or one within, you know, two within three-year period before you can have those dynasty conversations. But Memphis is not there yet. But they're clearly a team on the rise, and that is noted, you know. And I don't think Golden State, as presently constructed, is going to be a factor in the end. And Klay Thompson is part of the problem.
I'll say this about Golden State, though. They have been pretty good in keeping their core guys together. Klay, Steph, Green, and Iguodala, they let go some Harrison Barnes along the way and some of those role player guys, but for the most part, they've been pretty good at getting their players paid and keeping them together. You know, with free agency going on, man, that's what's killing a lot of these teams, man. That's what's going to hurt you guys. I guarantee by the time the All-Star game hit right after that, and when the trade deadline and everything hit, the Knicks are going to look totally different. And that's what's going to hurt a lot of these teams, even Ja Morant down with the Grizzlies. Free agency kills these teams because these players just move at will, move at will. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, and honestly, I'll tell you what I don't like. Now, I agree with that one piece you said, the players moving at will. I don't like players trying to force ownership to make moves because Billy and Jimmy are homies and they were drinking Cristal one night in a bar and said, why can't we just play together, man? And then each one of them start having attitudes with their teams to force some kind of move and all that kind of stuff. Like, we should be past that childish kind of deal. And to me, the NBA needs to put something in their contract. Case in point, Ben Simmons. He pushed a lot of deals and a lot of moves over attitude, but he has yet to back it up on the court, and this guy's a multimillionaire for nothing. And so
he's getting better. He's getting better.
Man, that dude shouldn't have. Okay, potential.
He's getting better.
All as human beings, we all have potential, but you shouldn't get paid off potential. You should get paid off results. And honestly, he hasn't shown no results that he's a winner. He ain't winning. He ain't winning college. He ain't winning LSU. Oh, they went to the NCAA tournament. So what? Right? He hasn't won anything. And he doesn't deserve all those props. Even if you win one ring, that only take you so far. And case in point, why is no one beating up Russell Wilson? Trash. Yes, he won a ring years ago. Yes, at one point he was a nice quarterback. He fell off the cliff. He lost it. He's not that same guy. That's what Seattle saw, which is why they was ready to move on.
Hold on. Let me say this. Let me say this. Because I said this before you came on. The problem is when you get these stupid coaches that keep trying to change who people are. And this relates to what we're saying about Ben Simmons. You're going to try to make a top defender and a low post guy and make him a freaking jump shooter. Then in Russell Wilson's case, oh, well, we want you to be more cerebral. We want you to play the game off your armband. But the guy been you're going to try to take a guy's physical limitations and make him live off his limitations versus his physical gifts, meaning I just know how to get the first down. If I can see a way to get the first down and keep moving the ball, I'm going to keep moving the ball up the field. I hear what you're saying, but the problem is the people got to quit trying to change people into something they're not. Go ahead.
All right. First off, let's talk reality. You want to be a 6'10 point guard in the NBA, you got to know how to shoot the jump shot. Magic Johnson set the precedent for being a 6'10 point guard in the NBA. If you can't play like Magic, you're not going to be a successful 6'10 point guard in the NBA. Ben Simmons is a 6'10 point guard in the NBA who can't shoot the jump shot, which makes you a defensive liability. Elfrid Payton, who's not 6'10, he's only 6'3. Albert Payton, who got drafted, Southwest Louisiana, right? Southeast Louisiana College, got drafted as a lottery pick, took the Knicks to the playoffs, right? And then went to Phoenix, and he's now out of the league. You know why? Because he can't hit the jump shot, and defense has started sagging off of him. He can't hit the jump shot. What I'm saying is if you can't hit the jump shot, and everybody know it, then you become a liability, right? Now Philly got Brooklyn got Ben Simmons playing down low because he's 6'10".
That's what he means
right?
to be.
So, well, right, but that's not how he got in the league. He got in the league not as a 6'10 power forward. He got in the league as a 6'10 point guard. So what I'm saying is you've
right?
got – yeah, he had potential, see? That's what I'm saying. If you're going to come – if you're going to try to pretend to be something you're not, you're going to get exposed. Russell Wilson – really wasn't the guy killing it with Seattle all those years. They had great defense. They had good running game, and he was just athletic. But Russell Wilson's getting exposed as an ineffective quarterback because guess what? He is. And I'm going to tell you something else. Okay, let's do this. I'm going to name three quarterbacks who've all won one Super Bowl, and you rank them in order of best to worst. Drew Brees, Joe Flacco, Russell Wilson, and Jeff Hostetler. Now, you rank all four of those players. You tell me which quarterback. All of them won one Super Bowl ring. I'm going to say it again. Drew Brees, Joe Flacco, Jeff Hostetler, Russell Westbrook. Where do you rank each one?
Hostetler last, Wilson next to last, Flacco second, and Drew Brees first. That's how I got them. That's how I got them ranked as far as effectiveness.
Bingo. So mind you, the only reason why you made Hostetler absolutely last is because everyone knows he was the backup. Well, he was the backup. Jeff Hostetler was the backup. Right, but he was the backup to Phil Simms, right? He was his backup. And he just happened to get, you know, in the Super Bowl and win because of it. But he was his backup, right? That's why. That's the only reason why you got Russell Wilson over Hostetler, right? But if you look at the numbers, right, Hostetler was actually better in the playoffs than Russell Wilson, even the year he won the Super Bowl. See, that's my point. So I'm saying just because you won a ring. Now, Drew Brees won only one ring, but Drew Brees' numbers as a quarterback, oh, my goodness, right? That guy is number one or number two all time in passes and touchdowns and exactly, right? And he was a little dude. Drew Brees is not that big, right? You see what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. So at some point, so you can't, you know, he's wasn't as tall as Peyton Manning, right? And he still put up those numbers, right? That's what I'm saying. He did it, and he didn't just do it for the Saints. He did it for the Chargers, right? That's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you got the skills, you got the skills. Russell Wilson's not that guy.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
You just said Flacco. You put Joe Flacco over Russell Wilson. And Joe Flacco right now is the backup on the Jets. He's the backup. He's still in the league. He's a backup quarterback for the Jets. And has started a couple of games and won a couple of games for him, right? So
yeah.
If you rank Joe Flacco as a better quarterback than Russell Wilson, then why is Russell Wilson still starting, right? Compared to Joe Flacco, they both won a ring. In fact, Flacco was Super Bowl MVP, and at one point, Flacco had the richest contract in the NFL, right? At one point. He signed a $120 million deal, and at that time was the richest contract in the league, over Aaron Rodgers. At that time.
Well,
right.
Before I let you get up out of here, do you think Brian Flores to the Miami Dolphins, Brian Flores, you think he's going to be going to Denver next season or well, I'm going to just say Denver. Do you think that he's going to get interviewed for that job?
Interview, yes. Accepted, no. If I were Denver, I would go with an African-American coach.
Well, Brian Flores is African-American.
Yeah, he is. That's true. He is. So, yes, it's possible he could get the position. So if I'm Denver, I'm definitely going African American coach. So that's possible. You're right. He is. And then why would I go to African American coach? For several reasons. Number one, I would because of Russell Wilson. Secondly, it don't look good. And in the NFL, they typically give teams that just don't look good to African American coaches. So they can run and win in percentage.
Oh, God.
Three, you need a face of the franchise right now because the quarterback can't be the face of the franchise. So you put the black guy out there. And It might sound like this is a lot of racial undertones, but let's be honest. There's a lot of racial undertones in the NFL, and this is one. So I do think that they should go with African-American coach. I was actually thinking of old boy who is the quarterback coach for Tom Brady right now, Byron Leftwich. I was thinking more of him than Flores, which is why I was saying not Flores in the beginning.
I was thinking Eric Bieniemy because Eric Bieniemy went to school in Colorado. He's a star in Colorado.
Yeah, that's
running
true.
Back.
That's true.
And then you know
that's
you bring him in with Coach Prime being out there. Now you got Eric Bieniemy who was alumni of Colorado. I think that narrative
true.
Might fit. But before I get
I
out
think
here,
so
man,
too.
Go ahead. Give me your closing thoughts before you get out of here on whatever. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I am interested in seeing how the NFL playoffs is going to go. The seeding, even for the teams that clinched, I think only one team is locked in a position of all the conferences, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. They pretty much, unless things go perfectly, they're going to finish fifth. So I think outside of them, all the other – matchups and changes is going to be exciting. Teams can go anywhere for the Ravens. They can go anywhere from the third seed to the seventh seed with all the combinations of wins and losses that could be there. So I'm excited about that. I want to watch and see how that works here in the next 2 weeks. And I would love to see the Saints. You guys were impressive last week. Against Cleveland. So I would love to see you guys squeak in to the playoffs. That would be hilarious to me. And a thumb in the face of Tom Brady, who I think the bottom has fell out. Tom Brady had a lucky charm in his pocket for a lot of years. And he should have just left, and he didn't. So I would love to see you guys get in just to ruin Tom Brady's career at the end.
Well, all right, man. I want to thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you for being part of the show today. I'm going to let you get on up out of here. I'm getting my warning. So we'll get you back on here sometime later in the week or next week. But thanks for coming through.
Yep. Fun feeling.
All right, buddy. Yes, yeah, for those just tuning in, this is the Stokers and Bear Radio Show. That was our number one sports contributor, D.C., talking everything New York Knicks, Baltimore Ravens, everything NBA and NFL. We're going to get ready to get up out of here. I want everybody to stay safe out there. Have a great day. Remember, be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. Remember, there's only one race. That's the human race. And with that being said, everybody stay safe out there. Get your flu vaccinations and all that good stuff. And we'll see you on the show tomorrow. Have a great day. Bye-bye.